Run for your life. The family rules. My father had a rule. We pay our bills first and then we eat. We all need a code of ethics to guide us, especially in tough times when everyone has to do their part for the greater good, for the family or the group to survive. We lived on Gramercy Avenue in Torrance, California, in the 1920s and 1930s. It was a small industrial town on the outskirts south of Los Angeles. There were more fields than houses, and the barley rose 3 feet tall. The open land was full of rabbits, ducks, mud hens, and in the ocean, abalone, the poor man's food. If we were short on money, I had to go out and shoot or catch something for dinner. It was a good lesson for all of us. Pitch in and help. Everyone in the family knew that to survive we had to make sacrifices. I had odd jobs that earned me a nickel here, a dime there. If I went out with the Iceman all day, I got 50 cents for the 8 hours. I churned butter at the dairy to make a dime. I gave it all to my mother so she could finish out the week with food until my dad got paid. A dime went a long way. When we could afford it, we took great joy in buying something from the ice cream sherbet man, who pushed his cart down every street in town. My favorite flavor was grape. My mother was strict, but she was fair. She worked hard and taught her children essential values in the process. Every morning before school, we had a chore to do, so we got used to participating and working when we were young. My mother was also a fabulous cook. When times improved, she served more than one main dish at dinner. Everybody ate. Everybody was cheerful. After dinner, we'd walk around the block and talk among ourselves and with neighbors. We played music. My mother on the violin, my father on the guitar and mandolin. My mother's brother, Louis, could play just about anything. He was in the orchestra on the Lurline, the cruise ship that journeyed between Los Angeles and Honolulu. Neither my older brother Pete nor I played an instrument, but we sang. Sometimes, when we ran out of money, Pete and I headed for the beach, but not to fish. I made a sifter out of 1/4-inch screen. We ran it through the sand, hoping to find small change. We swept under the monkey bars at our grade school. Maybe some kid had lost his lunch money. And then we scoured the high school lot. If we were lucky, we might pick up as much as 50 cents. Of course, we didn't keep any of it for ourselves. That would have been against the family rules of all for one and one for all. Anyone can turn their life around. I was a rotten kid. It's true. Sure, I helped out at home, but I was restless and mischievous and worse, and my behavior upset my family and eventually forced me to make one of the most important choices of my life. I was always in trouble, with my father and mother, with the neighborhood, with the school, and with the police when they could catch me. I had wonderful parents and sisters and a great brother who always wanted to help me go straight, yet I still tried to find ways to get in trouble, mainly to see if I could get away with it. I used to blame it on having an itch for adventure. I wanted to try everything. Looking back, I realize I also had a big problem with self-esteem. When I was very young, I couldn't speak English. Even though I was born in America, my parents spoke Italian at home, and so did I. I was held back in first grade because I couldn't understand my teacher. My English was so broken that my teacher told my folks that they had to speak English at home in order to help me. What's funny is that now, years later, I've forgotten how to speak Italian. Because I spoke so poorly, I was picked on. I dreaded recess. The other kids surrounded me, taunted me, jeered, kicked, and punched me until, out of pure frustration, I spewed a stream of Italian swear words. They seemed very entertained. I thought I was ugly. I hated my legs, big ears, and especially my hair. It was black and wiry, and I wished it were straighter. I combed it back, but it wouldn't stay. I wet it down at night, pushed it into shape, and slept with a nylon or silk stocking on my head. Didn't work. Because I spent so much time trying to get my hair to behave and look like the other guys, if anybody touched a single strand, they were in trouble. Once I even hit a girl who did, though I didn't know she was a girl. I just felt the touch and turned and swung without looking. Fortunately, the blow was only glancing. My older brother Pete could have teased me. Instead, he tried to help me. He thought that wearing the stocking at night was a great idea. We also experimented with different ways to grease my hair back, including olive oil. Later, in the deepest part of my antisocialness, I chewed raw garlic to keep the kids away. I guess all I was missing were stewed tomatoes, spices, and a saucepan.